Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it is 49 degrees under mostly sunny skies. Today's Tuesday, July 3rd, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A grand jury indicted Sitka resident Lowell T. Ford on felony drug and weapons charges on Friday. Ford, age 33, was indicted on two counts of possessing a weapon, one count of possessing heroin with intent to sell, and one count of possessing meth. The charges stem from an incident on June 25th. According to court documents, Sitka police officer Walt Smith caught sight of Ford at about 4 a.m. outside the True Value hardware store on Halibut Point Road. Police said that Ford was carrying 18 small wax paper packages of heroin and two glass smoking pipes, one of which tested positive for meth. Assistant District Attorney Gene Seaton estimated the heroin packages would have a street value of about $100 apiece. Police said Ford was also carrying a handgun, an 8-inch knife, a set of lockpicking tools, and a plastic face mask. If convicted, the charges carry significant jail time and fines. The heroin charge alone carries a maximum penalty of 20 years and $250,000. Ford was arraigned yesterday in Sitka Superior Court and pleaded not guilty. He is next due in court on August 1st. Alaska State Troopers say they ended separate searches for two missing Southeast residents because they ran out of options. Spokeswoman Megan Peters says there's no more information on the whereabouts of Wrangell's Colin Buness and Hyder's Kathleen Curry.
It gets to a point when you're searching for an individual where there's no evidence to show you that you're searching in the right place or that you're searching in the wrong place. It just gets to a standstill. And at some point, searches do have to end.
Wrangell's Buness was reported overdue last Monday. The 25-year-old had planned a hiking and kayaking trip on the Stikine River and one of its tributaries. Searchers found his kayak in a log jam as well as some of his gear. But Peter says no other evidence turned up.
They were doing aerial searches, they were searching on the ground, and they were also doing water searches. We were searching for every possibility. We were searching for the possibility that he made it out of the water and was attempting self-rescue to hike out. We were searching for the possibility that he never made it out of the river as well.
Buness, an Army National Guard sergeant, was an experienced hiker and kayaker. He last reported his whereabouts on Friday, June 22nd, using a location device. The search for Curry, age 60, began on Monday after Hyder residents reported her missing.
It's a very large area, and with not finding any signs of an individual to tell you to keep looking in one area versus another area, it's not conducive to a search environment. We need to find something to tell us we're on the right trail.
Both searches were called off last Friday afternoon. In addition to troopers, the Stikine area effort included Wrangell Search and Rescue, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, Sitka Mountain Rescue, and the Sea Dogs search team. The Hyder effort included the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad, search and rescue dogs, troopers, and residents. On a winter night in 1994, a newborn baby was found lying in a sink at Sitka's Thompson Harbor. 18 years later, that girl is now a young woman named Carissa Amrine. She graduated from high school this spring, and last week she returned to Sitka. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Carissa Amrine is digging through her wallet.
Yeah, I'm a little fishing license. Yeah, one day passed, pretty much.
You're official?
Yep.
Nice, and your king stamp?
Yep.
Cool. So what are you hoping to catch?
Just something edible.
It is the 18-year-old's second time in Alaska. The last time she was here, she was an infant, and the subject of an incredible story that began just a few feet from where we're standing. Shortly after midnight, on January 24th, 1994, Sitka Harbor employee Kelly Warren was making his rounds.
He opened up the harbor door just doing a regular bathroom check, and apparently I made a little noise of some sort, and he checked again, and there's a little baby sitting in the bathroom sink, and that baby was me.
According to that day's Sitka Sentinel, Carissa was wrapped in a T-shirt and had just been born. She was light, 4 pounds, 12 ounces, the newspaper reported, but healthy. Authorities never found her birth mother. Carissa says she knew the basics growing up, that she was adopted, that she'd been left by her birth parents, but not a whole lot about where and when until just recently. In Sitka, she had a chance to meet some of the people who rescued her and visit the bathroom sink where she was found, as well as the hospital that treated her. She says the trip has been emotional, but she's also pretty matter-of-fact about the whole thing.
My past is my past, but my future is what I look forward to. So, I mean, that's not knowing more about my past isn't going to change who I am or who I've become. So, I mean, it's just nice to know. I've always wondered, so.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What's in the future? You've graduated high school.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Flagler College down in St. Augustine. I'm going to major in fine arts and then move on to zoology. Both have always been an interest for me.
Yep. You're going to find a way to kind of marry those two concepts?
Yeah, because one of the main subjects of my drawing is usually an animal of some sort. And I've grown up around animals. I lived really close to a creek, so I was constantly in the woods, in the mud, doing something nature-related. So I just started eventually putting that into art as well. So
Carissa's parents, John and Karen, adopted her when she was 3 weeks old.
And it was pretty quick. We didn't have a whole lot of notice, so we had to do as best we could. We went shopping at Freddy's in Juneau to get as much as we could. And what we couldn't get, our church members came up with. And we were able to put together a nursery pretty fast and get it stocked with everything we would need for a child. I mean, normally you have 9 months to find this stuff, but we only had 3 days.
Yeah. And did you know the story before when you adopted her? I mean, did you know?
Yes, we knew exactly who she was going to be. And
I imagine it was in the news at the time.
It was in the newspapers in Juneau as well here in Sitka. So, yes, we knew exactly what you knew.
Karen Amrine.
It has been a wonderful, wonderful 18 years. Couldn't ask for a better child, couldn't ask for a harder worker, couldn't ask for a better student. She's just been a dream child, our miracle little girl.
Carissa's parents say that they have been amazed at how many people they've reconnected with, even during just their first day in Sitka.
We walked over to the fire station, and the person behind the desk was Roberta White, and she was on the run that night. So she didn't get to pick her up or hold her or anything, but she was on her run, and she just took over and started notifying people and pulling up names of people and getting phone numbers for us so we could call, and it was just amazing.
Carissa agrees. She says she never really asked a lot of questions growing up, but now that she knows the full story, in her words, it is surreal.
It was the middle of winter. Anything could have happened, but the best outcome happened, and I ended up being safe and getting adopted by great people. And I mean, a million things could have gone wrong, but everything went right.
This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
Experts agree with much of the overall message of a recent warning from the State Department of Health and Social Services about personally harvested shellfish, but the science methods cited by the state have raised the eyebrows of a couple of aquaculture researchers. They say high toxin levels in algae blooms don't necessarily mean poisonous shellfish. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
Ray Roland, aquaculture specialist for the University of Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program, has studied PSP in shellfish since 1995. He says toxicity of algae in the ocean is variable. The cells can disperse or concentrate depending on the current.
Cells and cell appearances and cell numbers gives you an indication of there could be a problem. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there is. The only confirmational testing that will actually tell you you have a problem is testing for the toxin in the shellfish.
Roland says the state did not test shellfish for toxins and relied on algae testing alone to issue a recent warning. He says algae testing is useful, but only to identify areas where shellfish testing might be warranted. He has other concerns about reports he heard based on the state's announcement, such as where to find safe shellfish.
Well, one of the statements in it that said that the only place to get shellfish or safe shellfish is from the grocery store. Well, our oyster farmers don't sell just in grocery stores.
Roland says shellfish farmers in Alaska sell in many places, and their product is tested. Despite questioning the state's methods, Roland says its conclusions and warnings are correct.
The general statement by part of everyone that's engaged in this PSP debate is that you don't eat untested shellfish, period. That people need to be warned. I mean, this is a bad time of year to be out there harvesting shellfish.
He says that a beach with safe shellfish one day can have toxic shellfish the next, because the next high tide might carry an algae bloom. He says there's no way to know whether shellfish is toxic without testing, and there are no tests available for personally harvested shellfish. Gary Freitag, a professor and marine advisory agent for the Ketchikan area with UA Fairbanks, questions some assertions that PSP levels are higher than normal or the result of climate change. He says there's no historical information to compare with data from the last few years. Freitag says the state's warning could be misconstrued, leading people to believe that unusually high levels now means it will be safe to harvest shellfish at another time of the year. He says people should eat only commercially harvested shellfish, no matter the month or the weather.
It doesn't matter what plankton concentrations are telling me. It's just dangerous to eat shellfish from this area because we just simply don't. We had a November high level of paralytic shellfish poisoning last year in animals that were tested. And so there's no predictive capability at this point to know what is safe to eat from a shellfish standpoint.
Freitag says the state's warning also might lead some people to stop eating shellfish completely or extend the concern to all seafood. He says that last year, after a similar warning from the state, some people decided to stop eating salmon, which can't contain the toxin that leads to paralytic shellfish poisoning. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for mostly cloudy skies, highs around 57, west winds 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 48, west winds at 10. Independence Day tomorrow, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, highs around 56, light winds becoming west 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain, highs 54 to 60. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.